Our second scripture lesson this morning seems very, very relevant for our time today. It'll be familiar, but think carefully on these words as I read them. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor, surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it is not rude, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. Now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror. But then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. May God add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. Just reading that scripture makes you want to drop the microphone and walk off. It is so powerful by itself, you can hardly preach it, you know what I mean? It tells its own story, but there's more to be said, and so I'm going to continue to speak for a few minutes. Verse 8 caught my attention as I was preparing this. Paul says, love never fails. I don't know about you, but I sometimes wonder, is love failing? Is love failing in the world around us? I got a phone call yesterday from a mother who her daughter's in her 20s and was recently married and is already filing for divorce. Mother was very upset, worried. She's thinking love is failing. Love is failing somehow. What we see around us in the world on the international stage is that love, as expressed in our Bible, seems to be failing as well. A Finnish interior minister, a former interior minister from Finland, was asked about homosexuality, and she's a devout Christian, and so she quoted the Bible in response, and she's now facing charges from her government for hate speech. A pastor in India was so delighted that he converted a Hindu to Christianity, but the local Hindu community became enraged. The pastor was jailed for 12 days. This morning's Sunday school class, Jim passed out this pamphlet that says, Five Ways You Can Pray for Chinese Christians During the Olympic Games. Now, if you know the communist regime in China, they suppress anything that's going to give them make them look bad, so they are suppressing the Christian church so that they will have their communist witness to the world might be just completely uniform for them. So pray for the encouragement of Chinese believers. Pray for the Chinese church that is under persecution now. And think about every place in this world where Christians are being persecuted. Sudan, we're well aware of. Places in Europe, we're well aware of. But love is not just failing toward the church. Sometimes love is failing in the church, and love is definitely failing on a national level. I mean, where are we politically when, a reelected official just takes it upon themselves to badmouth their predecessor? That's unheard of in American politics. We're not that kind of people. Then when the governor of West Virginia, have you heard that story? His feud with Bette Midler, how in a press conference he took his dog's hind end and compared that to Bette Midler. That is an elected official of our nation, somebody who should be above that kind of thing. His love failing? Is love failing on an international, national, and personal level? How about in your own life? Is love failing? Paul says, if I speak with the tongues of men and angels and do not have love, I have become as a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. Speaking for myself, one who has called to preach the word of God each Sunday, I pray each week that God would keep me from sounding like a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. These are strong words for a preacher who forgets why he or she stands in the pulpit each Sunday. They are strong words for the Sunday school teacher who comes to class unprepared. The truth is that the worst sermon, the most poorly prepared Sunday school lesson, can become great when delivered in the love of God through Christ. You know, when I talk about to chefs, I love good food. One of the ingredients, almost anybody can take a certain recipe and put all the ingredients together and put it on a plate. And it may be good, may not be. But if it's done with love, that's the ingredient that makes the difference, isn't it? But let's talk a little bit about this love that Paul's talking about. It's not the sentimental, syrupy kind of love with which it's usually associated. 1 Corinthians 13 love is a tough love. It's a kind of love that can make or break any Christian mission, any church, any endeavor at all. Christian love is not the stupid unwillingness to look at the world as it is. It is a recognition that because the world is as it is, nothing less than love will do. Nothing less than love will do. What the church needs now in this community, in this nation right now, we just talked about the situation, the political situation, is that we need to demonstrate love and how it's done in our nation and in our community. Because we are the people who represent that kind of love. Only love could persuade the Son of God to undergo extreme agony and death to set us free from sin. It is a love like that that takes the cacophony of jangling, discordant notes that we call life and weaves it into a beautiful symphony. Think about what Jesus heard in his last days. Crucify him, crucify him. I never knew him, one of his best friends said. Military authority said, what is truth? If you are the Son of God, come down from that cross. He heard all of this. Yet by his love, he turned those cries into, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. For all the hatred turned toward him, all the anger, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He demonstrated the kind of love that we need to demonstrate in our communities, in our homes, in our nation. Paul said, if I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, but have not love. You know, we are great nowadays with the internet on data. We say we can solve any problem if we just get all the data together. Let me Google it and we'll put together a program that will solve this problem. Paul says, if you have it all, if you've Googled it and you've come down with the best possible solution and you do not have love, it's not going anywhere. At the time that Paul wrote this passage, to give it a little context, people were circulating through Christian churches saying that they had some hidden esoteric wisdom that nobody else could know. It became known as Gnosticism. And before you get to thinking, well, that's something old, Gnosticism is still with us. It is still infiltrating the Christian faith today. Sometimes you will see these different fads that come along. Buy this book for $9.95 and you will learn the secrets hidden in the Bible for centuries. If you will take these numbers off of the third paragraph of each third page of the Bible, then you will know what the secret message that God was sending to us. But you got to send the $9.95. You can have all the degrees that a seminary can give. You can memorize the Bible. You can quote the greatest scholars. But if the love of Christ is not in you, you have nothing and you can go nowhere. I've seen it in my own pastorate for years. I saw a young man go into the ministry with all of the best of intentions, but the love of Christ was not in him. And he ended up destroying a church, perhaps even his family. If the love of Christ is not there, and if I have faith, Paul says, so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And you ask yourself, can Paul really mean this? Faith? Faith to heal, to help, to strengthen? Even faith without love is useless? I've never moved a mountain by my faith. But I have, and I suspect you have seen others who are sustained when they are weak, stricken under a load that would crush others. In fact, someone came into my office this week and says, I don't know what people who don't have Christ do when they suffer terrible loss or pain or injury. How do they stand it? We've all seen, as Christians, I hope, miracles of healing, miracles of new life. I've seen lives salvaged. I've seen alcoholics throw away the bottle and never return again. By prayer, I can even claim a little credit in some of those cases. But Paul says that faith without love of Christ is nothing. He can say that because he saw, as we have seen, that there are Christians who use their Bible as a blunt instrument of violence. Those who use the Bible to divide, to separate, to put down, to judge, and to assault other people. Without love, the Christian's faith can indeed become ugly and cruel. So the kind of love that Paul's talking about here is not for sissies. It's tough. It requires a lot of work. Love is being patient with a person that makes you want to pull your hair out. You got one of those? I have. Love is showing kindness to the person whom you do not like. Love is pulling out the goodness of other people instead of telling them how good you are. Love is reminding oneself that every moment and every breath that we have is by the grace of God and not because of any merit that we carry in and of ourselves. Love is always being on guard against thoughts, words, or actions that might offend or reflect badly on our Savior. To be the kind of lover that Jesus expects us to be means that we will resolve to love tenaciously and unrelentingly, bearing all things, believing all things, hoping when hope seems lost, and enduring in His love until the bitter end. The love that Christ taught us is the most difficult thing that we will ever attempt. It does not come naturally. It's not for the children or for immature, because as Paul says, when we were children, we thought and acted like children. But now we're adults. We know the price that is required of those who love. Jesus Christ paid that ultimate price. He's willing to see us face to face. He wants to see us so He can see how much we have learned about how to love. How far we have progressed from pure selfishness to complete giving of oneself in love. Several years ago, Eric Fromm wrote a book entitled The Art of Loving. I had to read it in college. Some of you probably had to as well. Fromm agreed with the Apostle Paul that loving, really loving, demands work. Fromm wanted to tell us that loving is like an art, like a musician who practices and practices and practices, a painter who practices, who learns the best techniques, and it requires instruction and time and focus. Fromm noted sadly, however, that our society, in spite of a deep-seated craving for love, instead of that, we give almost everything else a top priority for our attention. Success, prestige, money, power. So much of our time and energy is poured into these aims, and almost no energy was given to learn the art of loving. I don't know about you, but I was blessed to be raised by a family that was learning this art of loving. I can remember when I was just barely old enough to run around and do chores for the elders in my life. My grandmother would call me up, and I lived a few hundred yards from her house, and I would go up to her house, and she would load me down with baskets from time to time for poor people in the community. If she'd been baking, she baked a little extra. If she'd been to the grocery store, she brought home a little extra. She put it in these baskets, and I was the delivery boy. And so I learned how my grandma did loving. She wasn't perfect at it. She made mistakes, but she was making an effort. But getting back to our original question, is love failing? I think that I have to agree with Paul that love never fails. The kind of love that Paul's talking about here, the selfless kind of love, does not fail. In fact, Paul says in the very end of this discussion in 1 Corinthians 13 that love is the greatest of all things, that faith, hope, and love are things that remain after everything else is gone. And that's a truth that I cling to in my own life and my own faith, that faith, hope, and love are going with me. When I meet Jesus on the other side, the clothes will be gone, the money will be gone, anything that I've achieved is gone, but faith, hope, and love are going to be with me. And so it makes sense, doesn't it, to build those things up so that you carry as much of that with you into eternity. Maybe that's what Jesus is going to be looking for when we come across nothing else but, you know, how have you taken what I have given you and how have you built upon it? Remember the parable of the men who were given gifts by their master? One buried it, walked away. One put it in the bank at interest. Another one invested it and worked it out and multiplied it. That parable applies to the love that Jesus taught us, to the love that he gave us as a gift. He expects us to grow in it, to build upon it, and to pass it on. To him be the glory. Amen. Join me in a moment of prayer, if you would, please. Almighty God, thank you. Thank you for the love that you poured out into our lives. May we be good stewards of it. Help us not to bury it or to put it aside, but to build upon it, to teach, to be taught by it, to learn from it, to teach it to others, to show our children, to build upon that love, that with faith, hope, and love abide, that they will build up and strengthen and grow to heights we can't imagine. Thank you, Lord. We pray this all in Jesus' holy name. Amen.